Turn to James chapter 1. That's in the New Testament. Most of you know that. So, as we were riding back on the plane the other day, I was thinking about some things. And one of the things I thought about was the gifts that God gave us, and the gift, which is Holy Spirit. And I thought in terms of how many times in life we receive gifts in the physical world, the senses world, and, you know, sometimes we don't really appreciate those gifts for different reasons. Somebody may give you a gift that you have no use for whatsoever. Did you ever get one of those gifts? You know, somebody gives you a KitchenAid mixer and you don't bake or cook. Well, it sits in the closet until you sell it. Or, you know, or somebody gives you something that you don't know how to use. You know, you're not, and you don't want to learn how to use it. You know, it's me with a, you know, certain electronics. I use my phone so little compared to most people. But you don't use it to the fullest extent because you're ignorant or uninformed, right? Or ill-informed, maybe. Sometimes we're ill-informed. So, you know, there are different reasons why we don't appreciate gifts or use gifts. And unfortunately, that is true a lot of times in the Christian world of what God has given man or made available to man. Most people are either uninformed or ill-informed concerning what God has made available to each and every person. Or we don't appreciate it and use it. You know, we don't work at using it. You know, I like to play golf, you know, and it'd be great if I had the best clubs in the world, but I don't. But I have okay clubs. But, you know, you could have the best clubs in the world, but if you don't practice and learn how to use them, they don't do you any good, you know. You have to practice. You have to learn. And that's true in the spiritual realms, too. If you don't use your spiritual abilities, they won't develop and get stronger and better. So in James chapter 1, there's a great verse here. It says, chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, the first word gift is a Greek word dosis, and it actually means giving or the act of giving. That's what it means. It doesn't mean a gift, but it's the act of giving. And the second word for gift is dorema, which is that which is given freely, or a gift. You know, and our understanding of gift is kind of skewed a lot of times in life. Did you ever get one of those calls on the phone? You have just won 3 free nights in the Bahamas, except it's not free. Why isn't it free? Well, you have to do something for it. Right? You have to do something to get it. When we went down to Mexico, we had to take a ferry across from Playa del Carmen to Cozumel. And we had to take a shuttle from Cancun. So, you know, it was like $150 total for 3 of us to do that. And so I get across and we're getting ready to go to the shuttle, and this guy grabs us. He said, "Are you going to Cozumel?" He said, "Well, if you do this and this, we'll give you the $150 back." Mm-hmm. You know, which meant you had to go and sit through a sales pitch. You know, wasn't free, just could recover your money. It turned out good because we got the $150.
And what else did we get to do for that hour?
So the guy that was giving us the sales pitch, his name was Gilberto. And so they take you to breakfast, and they sit over a table, you know, and kind of get you relaxed, and it's free breakfast anyway, it's all inclusive. And so we get to breakfast and he goes like this, and my wife says, well, let's pray, and we hold hands, and all of a sudden he looks, you know, and he says, you believe in God? And I said, yeah, I'm the minister. I do the wedding here. And he said, oh. And so then he put his sales thing away underneath his placement, and we talked the word for an hour with the guy. And he said, I know you're not going to buy this. I said, you're right. He said, but I have to go through the sales pitch, otherwise they'll fire me. So he went through it quickly. And actually, we spent about 2 hours rather than the normal, whatever it was, 90 minutes, because, you know, we spent an hour just talking about the word with him and teaching him stuff. And it was really fun. So how did I get off on that? Oh, free gifts. So, you know, in English and in our society, they use the term free and gift loosely, when in reality, you know, a gift is free and there's nothing to do except receive it. You know, it's totally free, you know, and if it's not, if you have to do anything at all, it's not really a free gift, is it? We all got screwed up probably from a very young age when we learned about Santa Claus and you better be good. So you get your Christmas gifts. But if you have to be good to get them, they're not really gifts, are they? You know, do you have to be good to get the gift of Holy Spirit? No, all you have to do is believe. That's all you have to do. Okay, so the working translation of Walter Cummins, he says this, every good act of giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shifting shadow, like the moon. And the word variableness or shadow of turning is a phrase that they use in Greek literature referring to the heavenly bodies, because like the moon, it turns and then there's a shadow. You know, it as it moves, it has the shadow. So what the time that there's no shadow is full moon, right? Otherwise, it's always in shadow of some sort. And that's true of some of the other planets and stars and heavenly bodies. So that's what it's talking about there. But with every act of giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, God, our Father. His gifts are good, and his act of giving is good, and his gifts are perfect. And there's no variableness with God. There's no shadow of turning. God is constant. He's, you know, it says in Malachi, I am the Lord God, I change not. Right? He doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's not capricious. You know, in Greek mythology and Roman mythology and other religions, the gods get angry. You know, and the gods change and they make promises they don't keep. And that's not true of our God. Our God is reliable and he does what he says he's going to do. Let's go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Jesus Christ spoke and taught a lot about the gift of Holy Spirit from God. And in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. So, you know, Jesus Christ spoke a lot when he dealt with the Pharisees about how they would wash themselves on the outside, how they look so perfect on the outside. He said, but on the inside, you're rotten. You know, you guys are putrid on the inside. You're like whited sepulchers. A whited sepulcher is, you know, it's a grave. And they would whitewash them, and they look beautiful on the outside, but what was on the inside? Yeah, death. Yeah. A rotten body, a corrupted body that smelled and stunk or dried out, you know, was horrible. Here he says, John truly baptized with water. It was symbolic of that cleansing. You know, in the Old Testament, they had to cleanse before they went into the temple. They had to be clean before they could do a sacrifice before they could partake in the practices of the Old Testament. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. You shall be baptized with Holy Spirit. You'll be cleansed by the Holy Spirit. Through and through, you'll be cleansed spiritually, not just physically. A lot more permanent, a lot more important. So why would you need to be baptized with water if you're baptized with something better? You know, you wouldn't have to be. You wouldn't need to be. In verse 8, he goes on to say, but ye shall receive power, and the word receive is the word lambano, which we know to mean receive into manifestation. There's two main words in Greek we know that are translated receive. There's dekomai, which is to receive subjectively, to accept. And there's the word lambano, which means to receive into use, into manifestation. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Forget who I was talking with the other day, but just talking about eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses are the most unreliable of sources. If you're a lawyer, an eyewitness, even the police, you know, they look for better witnesses or better proof than an eyewitness. DNA, you know, is a great witness. eyewitnesses are very unreliable. You know, if you get 10 people see the same thing and you ask them each to describe what they saw, they'll describe something different. They will differ in the details and whatever they saw. Here it says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. It's not just that they were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ and all he did, but they were witnesses of what God gave them, and they were witnesses for Jesus Christ because they had Holy Spirit, because they could manifest the truth of that. Pretty amazing. Then, so this is, you know, before the day of Pentecost, then the day of Pentecost came and they all received the Holy Spirit. They all spoke with tongues. And then Peter gave his great teaching, presentation on the day of Pentecost where thousands of people were there. And in chapter 2, verse 38, when he's speaking to those people, in his conclusion, you know, he goes through a whole thing in the Old Testament and what God has promised and Jesus Christ and how God raised him up from the dead. And then he says in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Did they have to be baptized in water?
No.
No, he says, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive, lambano, the gift of Holy Spirit. The gift. And the word gift there is doria, which is a form of that other word. And it again is the free gift. It's free. It's a free gift, freely given. You know, we don't have to do anything to receive it other than believe. He said, repent and be baptized. Repent means to have a change of heart. You know, you have a change of heart. You decide you want to believe God. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. That's us, as many as the God shall call, afar off. We are afar off from this particular place and time, aren't we? Yet God called us. And we believed, we repented and believed, and we received Holy Spirit. What a great thing. What a great God that he would do that. You know, God went to an enormous amount of work and trouble so that we would have that gift. Something that we should not only be cognizant of, but we should do our best to learn about it and to use it to the best of our ability. Let's go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to begin in verse 9. Verse 11 starts out where Jesus Christ teaches them how to pray. They say, how should we pray? And he teaches them how to pray. And he says the Lord's Prayer, but it doesn't say, he doesn't say you have to say that prayer over and over. He was teaching them how to pray. Okay? And then he gives them a couple of parables about praying and how you, when you pray for something, you don't quit praying. You keep at it until you receive it. And then in verse 9, he says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know, that's three things. Ask, seek, and knock. You know, you want to know something from God? Well, seek. You know, you want to receive something from God? Ask. You know, if you don't ask, if you don't seek, if you don't knock, you're just spinning your wheels. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And the word receiveth there is lambano. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You know, I remember when I first went to fellowship and somebody told me about fellowship. And I said, okay, I would really like to know the answers to this. I'd really like to understand God. I'd really like to understand his word. I'd really like to know if I really want to believe. You know, do I want to believe this? Because, you know, if you go through religion or you go through life, you know, you could be misled and say, why would I want to believe in that? Because people are ill-informed. They're ignorant of what the truth of God's word really is. They don't really know what God has promised. They don't know how good God is. They don't know how loving God is. They don't know how reliable God is. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Now, how do you have to ask? You have to ask according to what's available, right? Because Jesus Christ himself in the garden asked God, and God said no. You know, he said, is there another way we can do this? It was an honest question. He said, okay, this is what he taught, so he knew, so he asked. He said, is there another way? And God said, no, there's not. So he received an answer, and then he did it according to what God wanted him to do. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, shall he give him a stone? Now you go, why would you give a stone if you ask for bread? Well, you've seen a loaf of pita bread, right? A little thin, flat piece of bread. Well, that's the kind of bread that they baked in the Middle East. And they had stones that looked like a pita. You know, it was a round, smooth stone, and they would lay out the dough on it, and they would bake it. And eventually that stone would get brown and black and kind of charred, and it would look like a loaf of bread. But if your child asked for a piece of bread, you would, as a parent, would know the difference between the stone and the bread, wouldn't you? So you wouldn't give them the stone. If he would ask a fish, will he, for a fish, give him a serpent? And there is a fish that looks like a serpent, but it's a fish in the East, in the Middle East, and they would eat him. So you could confuse, if you didn't know the difference between the two, you could confuse the fish and that serpent, that water serpent. But if you didn't, you know, if you knew the difference, then you would certainly give your child the fish rather than the serpent. Or if he asked for an egg, well, you give him a scorpion. Now, why would you give him a scorpion? But there's a certain species of scorpion in the Middle East that when the female is pregnant, it looks like an egg. You know, just laying on the ground would look like an egg. Because big fat, you wouldn't see the body of the scorpion underneath. So you wouldn't give him a scorpion, would you? If ye then, being evil, you know, what does evil mean here? It doesn't mean bad. It means just, you know, you're a human being. Right. You're imperfect. You're not perfect in any way. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Why? Because God wants people to have Holy Spirit. He wants them to be able to communicate with him. He wants them to be able to receive information from him. He wants to be able to instruct us via the Spirit to open the eyes of our understanding. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be able to manifest that Holy Spirit and the power of God in our lives. He wants us to do that. So God wants us to do it. He's made it available. So then the responsibility is on us to get informed, to understand, and to put it into practice. Okay. How far am I going here? That's as far as I'm going here. Okay? So why wouldn't your Father God give you Holy Spirit if you ask him? Pretty great. Pretty great idea. In the Holy Spirit book, page 37, it says, a gift is never earned. Wages are. The only righteousness enabling us to receive gifts from God is the righteousness of Christ, which is credited to our spiritual account because of our believing in the one sacrifice of Christ. Pretty cool, huh? Let's go to Romans chapter 6. You know, God's no respecter of persons, is he? So when somebody asks, he's gonna do for him, isn't he? He's as willing to give to you as he is to me. It doesn't matter who you are. Chapter 6 of Romans, verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. You got to work hard to die. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, and that's a gift too, isn't it? It comes along with the gift of Holy Spirit. We have a gift of eternal life. We get it. We can't earn it. It's not earnable. It's not something that you can get by any other means than the grace of God when you believe. That's the only way. The word gift here is the word charismata. Charismata. We get the word charisma. You know, what we think of charisma as somebody that is dynamic and they're like a magnet. You know, they draw people to them or whatever, or people listen to them. But it's the gift. Charismata is the gift. It's a gift of favor or kindness. It's from the word grace. Grace. Here it is, from God by grace. It is eternal life. It's the gift from God. Let's go to Romans chapter 11, verse 29. It says in verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It means there's no recalls. You know, you could buy the most expensive, most beautiful car in the world, and it could get recalled, couldn't it? Or repoed, one or the other. But the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And that's true all the way back, because that's the way, when God gave somebody something, he gave it to them. He didn't take it away. He didn't take it back. Unless, of course, he gave it with condition, right? Sometimes he gave things to people upon condition. In the case of eternal life, it can't be upon condition because it's eternal. And if he could take it back, it wouldn't be eternal, would it? And the gift of Holy Spirit, it says, is ours. And it's in us. It's seed. It's given forever. So he can't take it back. He won't take it back. And we have the gift of righteousness. It's called the gift of righteousness. And so we do this, and it's an unspeakable gift. So we should treasure it. We should learn it. We should aspire to be our best for God and to use that gift to the best of our ability. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual, and the word gifts there is in what?
Italics
in the King James Version. And because the word gifts is not in the original Greek, it's the Greek word pneumatikon or pneumatikos. It means spiritual matters or spiritual things. So concerning spiritual things or matters, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. God does not want us to be ignorant concerning spiritual matters. He wants us to understand. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to be ill-informed. He doesn't want us to be dopey or stupid. He wants us to understand. He wants us to have insight. He wants us to be well-informed concerning spiritual matters, which would include his gifts, right? They would. And what does he want us to do with those gifts? He wants us to use them. I want you to go to the book of Acts again, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And this is concerning Paul on his way to Damascus, and he had letters from the high priest giving him authority to arrest people and imprison people that were following Jesus Christ and the apostles who had become Christians. And so Paul was throwing him in jail. And he's going along the trip here, and all of a sudden a bright light shines and Jesus Christ speaks to him. He goes blind. And they lead him into Damascus. And it says in verse 9, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. He had had this wild experience of this bright light. He goes blind, and Jesus Christ speaks to him. In verse 5, he says, and who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And then down in verse 6, it says, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And so, you know, he went, and he was speechless, and he saw no man, and he went to Damascus. In chapter 9, verse 10, it says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. A certain disciple. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a teacher. He wasn't any of those things. He wasn't an evangelist. He was a certain disciple. That's what he was. A disciple. What's a disciple? A disciplined follower. That's what he was. He was Joe Believer in Damascus. He was just a normal guy, but he believed God and he trusted God. And and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision. A vision means he visually saw, right? And the Lord here is referring to Jesus Christ, which it tells us later in the context. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. That's a good response. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. That's pretty precise and exact information. You know, it's not like, go over to the east side of town and there's probably going to be this guy and he might be in a white robe or a brown robe. And no, he says, go into the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas. They didn't have house numbers in those days, but everybody knew where everybody lived. And ask for Saul of Tarsus. Verse 12, and he hath seen a vision of a man named Ananias. Happened to be the guy that the Lord is talking to, right? He saw a vision, or he's seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming and put his hands on him that he might receive his sight. So Saul is receiving information too, isn't he? And Ananias answered, "Lord, oh Lord, I have heard of many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem." Wow. How would you like to get sent, you know, to witness to somebody that was killing and imprisoning Christians? It's like, that's on my to-do list, that's like 98. It's way down the list. We all want to witness to the guy that as soon as you open your mouth, he goes, "Yeah, I want to know about it." And he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. And he hath, but the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Wow. Pretty cool, huh? "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake, my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul." Brother Saul. You know what that means? He was born again. Because they wouldn't just call somebody brother, just, you know, it's not like today. "Hey, bro." You know, they didn't do that. You know, when they said it, it was a big deal. They meant it. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus." See, it tells us here in the context who the Lord refers to here. It's Jesus. "That appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me." Now we know. In the other part, it doesn't tell them, you know, that Jesus Christ told them that he appeared to Saul on the way, but he apparently did tell them that because he relates it here. "Appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hast sent me." That guy sent me. "That thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And the word "filled" is the word pletho, filled to overflowing. We get the word plethora in English, right? Filled to overflowing. That might be filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." You know, immediately it fell as it had been. Was it scales?
No.
It doesn't say. It says as if it had been, you know. Like he had something over his face and got taken away. "And immediately there fell from his eyes, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened then with Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." Wow, isn't that great? But see, this guy Ananias, did he practice and use what he was given, that gift? Well, he did. He received the Holy Spirit, didn't he? He received information. He received revelation. You know, he ministered healing, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he practiced it. He was there. He wasn't, you know, he was just like us. See, Jesus Christ told those guys, "You shall receive Holy Spirit. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And then Peter said, you know, "As many as afar off as shall be called." And that's us. And he gave us that same spirit that Ananias got. He got that same gift that we got. And it's a gift not to put in the closet and collect dust. It's not a gift to just, "Oh yeah, I got it." It's a gift to aspire to learn to use, to use it to the best of your ability. And that ability, because it's God's ability, is unlimited. You know, you have to start thinking in terms of how God thinks of you. You have to think in terms of how God says we can do. Not, I can't do that. Why not? God hasn't changed. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord God, I change not. So if Ananias can do it, so can we. If Peter and Paul could do it, so could we. We all can do those things. We all have the ability. We all have those gifts. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what a wonderful and sweet and loving God you are, that you truly did give us gifts, and they truly were free, and you are a God that never takes them back, but you want us to learn. You want us to grow. You want us to have that in our lives, to operate and to bless and to help and to live more than abundant lives. So we just thank you for that, God, and we thank you for what a great and loving God you are to each and every one of us. We thank you for the day and the week that we go out, and that we can be blessed, and that we can be positive, and that we can affect everyone we come in contact with. Whether they believe or not, they're going to see that we're different. And we just thank you for that. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.